Hare Krishna. So we're reading from 4th canto, chapter 9, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is it about? It is, it's a prayer of Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Lord, he prayed to the Lord in 12 verses. So this is the 12th of the 12 verses. So verse number 17. So I was asked to speak on the topic of deliverance of Ahalya. I haven't heard much discussion on Ahalya in our society. I couldn't recollect any class that I attended which focused specifically on Ahalya. So I asked Nandan Prabhu, why deliverance of Ahalya? And he said, because nobody speaks about it. So, okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Thank you. My Lord, O Supreme Lord, you are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. It is the benediction of worshipping your lotus feet. That is the benediction of worshipping your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, you are the causelessly merciful maintainer. Just like a cow who takes care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj was cognizant of the defective nature of his own devotional service. His pure devotional service is without material form and is not covered by mental speculation or fruitive activities. Pure devotional service is therefore called ahaituki bhakti, unmotivated. Dhruva Maharaj knew that he had come to worship the Lord in devotional service with a motive to get the kingdom of his father. Such an adulterated devotee can never see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He therefore felt very grateful for the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is so merciful that not only does he fulfill the desires of a devotee who is driven by ignorance and desires for material benefit, but he also gives such a devotee all protection, just as a cow gives milk to a newly born calf. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord gives intelligence to the constantly engaged devotee so that he may gradually approach the Lord without difficulty. A devotee must be very sincere in his devotional service. Then, although there may be many things wrong on the devotee's part, Krishna will guide him and gradually elevate him to the highest position of devotional service. The Lord is addressed herein by Dhruva Maharaj as Purushartha Murti, the ultimate goal of life. Generally, Purushartha is taken to mean execution of a type of religious principle or worship of God in order to get material benediction. Prayers for material benediction are intended for satisfying the senses. And when one is frustrated and cannot fully satisfy the senses, in spite of all endeavor, he desires liberation or freedom from material existence. These activities are generally called purushartha. But actually, the ultimate goal is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called panchama purushartha, the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya therefore taught us not to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead any benediction, such as material wealth, popularity, or a good wife. One should simply pray to the Lord to be constantly engaged in his devotional, in his transcendental loving service. Dhruva Maharaj, being cognizant of his desire for material benefit, wanted protection from the Lord so that he might not be misled or deviated from the path of devotional service by material desires. This is a very beautiful verse. In fact, there is only one other verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that matches or comes close to this verse. In terms of identifying the nature of Krishna, the nature of Lord. This verse identifies what is the nature of the Lord. So the topic I was given was the deliverance of Ahalya. So we'll come to this verse towards the end of our discussion. Because this verse reveals the conclusion of the discussion we're going to have around Ahalya. So, how many of us here have heard about Ahalya? Ladies, Ahalya? Have you heard the name Ahalya? Yes? Okay, so very briefly, in Valmiki Ramayana, in the Balakanda, in chapter 48-49 of Balakanda and chapter 30 of the Uttarakanda, two places, the pastime of Ahalya is mentioned. So when Lord Ramchandra was a 16-year-old boy, he was asked by Vishwamitra to come along and help him kill the demons in the forest who were creating a lot of havoc for the sages. So as Lord Ramchandra along with Lakshman went to the forest, killed the demons, and after accomplishing that task, Vishwamitra took both the brothers to the city of Mithila. Whose city is Mithila? Janak Maharaj. On the way to Mithila, they passed an ashram which was completely deserted. There was nobody staying there. It was beautiful externally, but there was no activity. So Lord Ramchandra inquired from Vishwamitra, "What is this place?" Vishwamitra said, "This place is famous by the name Siddhashrama, because this is the place where the Siddhas, the Charanas used to live. And this is the place of penance of Gautama Rishi. So this place is very, very potent and powerful." And then Ramchandra further inquired, "Well, if it is so potent and powerful, where is Gautama Rishi? Why is he not here?" And so Lord Ramchandra, as he was inquiring so intently, Vishwamitra said, "Okay, I'll reveal to you the pastime, the secret of why you don't see anyone here in this ashram." And he said that in the beginning of the Satya Yuga, or Krita Yuga as it is called, Brahmaji created different beings, and in the beginning of the Kalpa, in fact, Brahmaji created different beings, and he created amongst men, he created rishis like Gautama and others. Amongst women, he created women like Ahalya. So in the Ramayana, Brahmaji says, "Yasyana vidyate halyam, tena halyeti vishruta." Yasyana vidyate halyam. She who has no defects, perfect woman. Ahalya was perfect in her attitude, in her beauty, in her behavior, a perfect woman. So as Ahalya was created, she was given to Gautama Rishi to look after. And Gautama Rishi looked after her without ever getting attracted to her. So Brahmaji was very, very pleased. And he said, "I was simply testing you. You should get married to her." And Brahmaji gave Ahalya to Gautama as his wife. After marrying Ahalya, Gautama Rishi was still pretty disinterested in Ahalya as such. So he was going around doing his normal chores. But Indra, the Lord of heavens. He had a deep attraction for Ahalya. And such deep was his attraction that he had to. Anyway, he's a personality, he's always after perfect women. It is said the women in the... So we have beautiful women in this world, the Miss Universes, the Miss Worlds. So Bhagavatam says that the most beautiful women in the Bhuloka, on the earth, is equivalent to or even less than the most beautiful she-horse in the heaven. So that is the level of beauty in the heaven. We cannot imagine the perfectness. So Indra was attracted to Ahalya. Yasyana Ahalyam. There was no defect in her. So he was very much attracted to her. So one day he comes to the ashram of Gautama Rishi and with the intent to unite with Ahalya. However, Ahalya would not agree. He knew that. So he comes in the garb of a rishi, but not an ordinary rishi. He actually assumes the form of Gautama Rishi himself. And in that form, he approaches Ahalya. And Ahalya seems to recognize him, that he is Indra, he is not Gautama. However, she is overcome by her desires and they unite with each other. As Indra was leaving, Gautama Rishi appears on the scene and Gautama Rishi spots Indra and he immediately understands what's gone on. And he curses Indra and he curses Ahalya. He curses Ahalya to become a stone. Why does he curse Ahalya to become a stone? Because as prayaschitta for such an abominable act, Ahalya, to regain her stature, would have to perform austerity. And Gautama Rishi says, I curse you to become a stone so that you can live only on air, no food. And you can live unseen. So nobody, you think you're the most attractive. But how about you become a stone? How attractive is a stone? So you become a stone. And you remain there in the ashram. And then Ahalya says, well, my lord, it wasn't just my fault. It was me who was being tricked by Indra. So please give me some means of redemption. So Gautama Rishi says, I shall give you this boon, that when Lord Ramchandra, the son of Dashrath, passes by this forest, at that time, through his mercy, you shall regain your form. And then when Lord Ramchandra is passing by, after this pastime, when Vishwamitra tells this to Ramchandra, Ramchandra simply glances. I mean, in popular Hindu culture, they think Ramchandra actually put his feet on the stone. But actually, in Valmiki Ramayana, it says he simply glanced at the stone. The Lord's glance is sufficient. The Lord doesn't need to touch. His glance is all-powerful. So the Lord simply glances and Ahalya regains her form. And then she serves the Lord. And the Lord proceeds further. So this is in gist. It's covered in two chapters in Ramayana. So it is the gist of the Ahalya pastime. Now the question arises, what do we learn from this pastime? So my intention is to share with you three different understandings or different views based on the view of Sripad Madhvacharya, who has written commentary on this, the view of our very dear Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the view of our most worshipable Srila Rupa Goswami. So specific to Ahalya, what do we learn? And then we'll conclude with this verse. I'm just looking at the clock. I need to be quick. So, first question is, was Ahalya at fault? That is the very first question. Was Ahalya at fault at all? So the question is answered in the Ramayana. It says, Munivesham Sahasraksham Vijnaya Raghunandana. O Raghunandana, she knew that in Munivesham, in the form of a Muni, this personality is not my husband. He is Sahasraksha, one who has 1,000 eyes. Indra is supposed to have 1,000 eyes. So, she recognized him as Indra. However, Matim Chakara Durmedha. She acted foolishly. Even though she recognized him, she still acted foolishly. Devaraja Kutuhalat. Why did she act foolishly? Devaraja Kutuhalat. Because she became curious. Or she had some subtle desire to associate with Devaraj. This is from the original verse of Ramayana. So certainly there was some desire on the part of Ahalya, because of which she had gone out, associated, allowed Indra to associate with her. So then the question is, why would Ramachandra in one place, now I can't recollect where, in one place, Kaikeyi is saying, I think before Ramchandra goes to Vanavas, Kaikeyi says that Ramchandra's character is so spotless. Paradareshu na darshayat. He does not even look at other's wife. He's so spotless, he does not even look at other person's wife. Such spotless character. So, why would Ramchandra absolve Ahalya from this sinful act? And to answer that question, we first turn to Madhvacharya. So, Sripad Madhvacharya has written a commentary on the Mahabharata called Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. Actually, the entire Ramayana is summarized in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, but also in Mahabharata, in the section called Ramopakhyanam, Ramasya Upakhyanam, the pastime of Ramachandra. So Madhvacharya comments, so he writes this verse. He gives 4 reasons why. Balam Svabhakte Radhikam Prakashayan Anugraham cha tridasheshvatulyam ananya bhaktam cha suresha kangshaya vidhaya narim prayayau thayarchita. 4 reasons. First, balam svabhakte radhikam prakashayan. To demonstrate that bhakti is superior to everything. It is superior even to tapasya. So although Gautam Rishi gave the curse to Ahalya, she became a stone. And as a stone, she was doing tapasya. What was she doing? She was constantly remembering Ramchandra, who was going to come one day and get her out of this condition. So she was constantly smaranam, constantly doing smaranam of Ramachandra. But she is also doing tapasya because she was a stone. So Ramachandra, by seeing her and then giving her a body back as a Ahalya, he established, Madhvacharya says, he wanted to establish that it is only through the grace of the Lord that one attains perfection, not through tapasya. Tapasya with the grace of the Lord would work. And he also wanted to establish that balam swabhakter adhikam. Swabhakti, his bhakti is the highest. So no curse of any rishi, no matter as powerful as Gautama Rishi, can affect one who is doing the bhakti of the Lord. The second reason he gives is anugraham cha tridasheshva tulyam. Tridasheshu. Tridasha means 30. The 30 primary demigods. There are 33 million demigods in total. However, there are 30 primary demigods. Anugraham cha tridasheshva tulyam. To show his anugraha. Anugraha means grace. To show his grace to the demigods. How did he demonstrate his grace to the demigods? So, there was a son of Ravana whose name was Meghanad. He was called Meghanad because his nada, his voice was so powerful. It was like thunder. Meghanad means thunder. The sound from the clouds. The thunder. So he was thunderous personality. And he once challenged Indra, fought with him and captured him. Indra, who is unconquerable, was captured by Meghanad. And Brahmaji had to come to rescue Indra to bring Indra back. And in return, Brahmaji gave a boon to Meghanad, and he gave a new name to Meghanad. And the new name to Meghanad was Indrajit. One who has conquered Indra. And the boon was that as long as you are in this particular chariot, you will not be defeated by anyone in any war. So he gave a special chariot. So then Indra inquired from Brahma, why is it that I was conquered by a mere ordinary Danava like this Meghanad? And Brahmaji said, it was because of your sin that you committed towards Ahalya. It is because of that you were conquered by Meghanad. And then Indra said, but I'm always going to remain scared from Meghanad because he may attack again. So when will I get rid of this, you know, worry? And at that time, Brahmaji says, when Lord Ramchandra comes, he and his brother will kill Ravana and all his dynasty, including Meghanad. And when they are all killed, you will be free of this worry. So to show special grace to Meghanad and to the demigods, anugraham cha tridasheshva tulyam. This is the second reason. The third reason that Madhvacharya says is ananya bhaktams cha suresha kangshaya. Third and fourth reason. The third reason is that while Ahalya was a stone, she performed ananya bhakti. Ananya bhakti is pure devotional service. Ahaituki bhakti. To show her his grace, he absolved her from the situation as a stone. And finally, Suresha Kangshaya. Suresha is Indra. Kangshaya, his desire. Indra had a desire that Ahalya should be brought back into her original form. And he prayed to the Lord. So, when there's a prayer of a devotee, the Lord acts. So, Madhvacharya gives these four reasons. We can talk in quite some detail on these four. Vidaya narim prayayau tayarchitaha. So, the Lord Ramchandra, through his glance, she became Ahalya, beautiful woman again. And then he proceeded. After being Architaha, after being worshipped by Ahalya. So what is the lesson that we learn from this? The lesson that we learn is the Lord, no matter however fallen somebody might have been, no matter how much we drift away, the Lord is so gracious. He is willing. He is eager. He is eager to give His, to shower His grace on us, to bring us back. And we shouldn't judge those who have drifted away, those who have fallen away, those who have seemingly acted in an unbefitting manner. Sometimes we observe someone, we think, oh, why is he acting this way? He's a devotee, he's not supposed to act like that. But we do not understand, it could be the plan of the Lord. The Lord, to demonstrate His grace, plans to do things that are beyond our understanding. This is the first lesson. When we observe things that we do not think are necessarily within our capability to grasp, it is not because something is wrong, but probably because it is the plan of the Lord. Just like some Madhvacharya in summary is saying, this was simply the plan of the Lord. It was the Lord who in the heart of Indra, made Indra act in that way so that he could then come and destroy the Danavas. It was the Lord who made Ahalya act in that way so that she could perform Ananya Bhakti and she could become an example for the others. So it was the Lord's plan ultimately to have this pastime. In fact, Bhishma Dev tells Yudhishthir Maharaj, when Yudhishthir Maharaj is very, very sad, desperate, and he doesn't know what to do. He thinks himself to be the cause of the Kurukshetra war. He asks different rishis and he's not satisfied. He's then taken by Krishna to Bhishma Dev on his deathbed. And Bhishma Dev gives the reason for his condition. And at the end, Bhishma Dev says, Nahi asya karhi chid rajan puman veda viditsitam. Nahi asya, of this Lord, asya. This word is very interesting, asya. Asya means his. His when you are pointing at someone. So Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows, he's pointing at Krishna. Asya, this man. Krishna, who's standing right there. Nahi asya karhi chid rajan. O king, it is not possible ever puman veda viditsitam for human beings or anyone for that matter, it is not possible to understand veda viditsitam, to understand the plan of the Lord. It's impossible to understand the plan of the Lord. This is the first lesson. We then quickly move at the second one, which is from Bhaktivinod Thakur's Jaiva Dharma, chapter 16, part 4. So Bhaktivinod Thakur says that actually, and this is our philosophy, achintya bheda bheda tattva, bheda and abheda. So Bhaktivinod Thakur says that a living entity who is in this material world goes through 5 levels of consciousness. The lowest level is covered consciousness, which is achhadita chetana. Achhadita means covered. The examples of achhadita chetana Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is ahalya, a stone. He says Yamala Arjuna tree, the trees in general. So the stones and the trees, they have covered consciousness, but they are conscious. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, stone is conscious, but covered. And he gives the example of Ahalya as such a stone with covered consciousness. Higher than covered consciousness, anyone knows? Achhadita Chetna. Next is? 5 5 levels of consciousness. Sankuchita chetna. Sankuchita means contracted consciousness. Like those in animals. Beasts, birds, insects. They have contracted consciousness. Their consciousness is not so developed. Higher than that is mukulita chetana. Mukulita means slightly budding, opening, but not opened yet. It's opening, and that is in humans because they are able to understand the purpose of life. So they have mukulita chetana. And higher than those is vikasita chetana. Vikasita means developed consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, developed consciousness are those who believe in God, are righteous, and performing sadhana bhakti. They have developed their consciousness. And finally, the fifth level is purna vikasita chetana. Consciousness that is fully developed. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that consciousness is that of the bhava bhaktas. Those who are on the platform of bhava bhakti and beyond. They have fully developed consciousness. But the example of achhadita chetana, the covered consciousness, is ahalya. So the understanding is the Lord is so merciful and his grace is so potent that even a stone like ahalya can attain the highest perfection. Just see the grace of the Lord. It's so transformational. It can transform even a stone. So from Madhvacharya, the lesson was, everything is a plan of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even a stone is touched and transformed by the mercy, by the grace of the Lord. And then we come to the third one, which is Srila Rupa Goswami. So Srila Rupa Goswami has written a very beautiful work called Padyavali. Padyavali means a garland of Padya. Padya means poems. A garland of poems. So we have Jayadev Prabhu here, Vishwambar Prabhu here. They sing beautiful poems, their own compositions. So Rupa Goswami, he composed some verses, but mainly he brought together the most beautiful verses from several places. So it's an anthology of verses, an anthology of 392 verses. So that's Padyavali. In Padyavali, verse number 7, he speaks about what is the glory of our Lord, Shri Krishna. So the title is Shri Krishnasya Mahima. What is the glory of our Lord? And he gives a very, very beautiful verse. Very powerful verse. He says, Vatsalyad abhaya pradana samayad artarthi nirvapanad audaryad agashoshanad Aganita Shreya Pada Prapanat. Vatsalyat. Vatsalyat means through affection. First quality of the Lord, he is incredibly affectionate. Second quality of the Lord, Abhaya Pradana Samayat. When one fully surrenders to the Lord, he provides that person full immunity and fearlessness. That's his second quality. So this verse says, why should we worship Krishna and nobody else? And why is he so beautiful, so wonderful? First, his affection. Second, his providing fearlessness. Third, artarthi nirvapanat. Those who are miserable, he is the only one who is able to completely take away their misery. Fourth, audaryat agashoshanat. Fourth, audaryat. He is the most generous. Fifth, agashoshanat. Aga means sin. Shoshanat means dries up. He is the one who can completely dry up one's sin. Please listen carefully. This particular word, agashoshanat. And then sixth, aganita shreya pada prapanat. Aganita shreya. Innumerable shreya. What is shreya? Benefit? Shreya. Shreya, good. Auspiciousness, we can say. So, aganita shreya prapanat. He gives innumerable auspiciousness. Now, to help us understand where the Lord has exhibited these six qualities, the verse continues. The verse says, Sevyah Shripatir Eva Sarva Jagatamete Yatashakshina. Shripati is alone to be worshipped, and this is established by Yataha Shakshina, by these Shakshis, by these examples. The six qualities I mentioned of the Lord are displayed by these six examples. So the first quality, Vatsalyat, his affection is displayed by Prahalladascha Vibhishanascha Karirat Panchali Ahalya Dhruva. These are the six examples. Prahallad is the example of the Vatsalya, the affection of the Lord that Prahallad received. Not even the demigods, not even Brahma could face Lord Narasimhadev. Lord Narasimha, he was most affectionate to Prahlad. So he displayed this quality of affection. Abhaya Pradana, giving fearlessness. The example that Rupa Goswami gives is Vibhishanascha. Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, when he took shelter of Ramachandra, Ramachandra said, "You have nothing to worry. You have nothing to fear from your brother. You have come to my shelter. I shall protect you." Then, the third example is Karirat. Rat means king. Kari means elephant. The elephant king. Who was that? Gajendra. He is the example of Artarti Nirvapanat. He who is in misery, in utmost misery. Imagine his being dragged into the water. He is so miserable. He is the most miserable. He is about to die. Only the tip of his trunk is sticking out of the water. And he thinks, what can I offer the Lord? I have to offer him something to call him. He grabs hold of Kuvalaya. Kuvalaya means a lotus. And he offers that lotus. And the Lord immediately comes. And the Lord comes and immediately kills the, through his sudarshan, chops off the makara, the crocodile. Yeah, so this is very beautiful, Gajendra prayers. Acharyas have given such wonderful. So one Acharya says, why is it, one might wonder, that the Lord is using his weapon to first give mercy to the makara. Because the weapon of the Lord first touches the crocodile. Even before the Gajendra comes out, the crocodile is chopped into two. So he's asking, why is it that the makara who is actually dragging Gajendra down, why does he become the recipient of mercy of the Lord? And then he answers, he says, of course he should be, because the Lord is thinking, well, I'm here to actually save my devotee Gajendra. However, look at this crocodile. He's holding the lotus feet of my devotee. He deserves the mercy first. Anyway, I'm going away from the topic. So, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful prayers of Gajendra. So, Karirat, he was miserable. Gajendra was miserable. Audaryat, the example is Panchali. Panchali, the Lord showed generosity to her. When Durvasa came with his disciples to be fed, and Panchali had nothing in the pot, she had just one grain, one leaf. And with that one leaf, the Lord became so generous that he fed, he actually filled the bellies of all the disciples of Durvasa and Durvasa Muni. Likewise, he was so merciful when he protected Draupadi in so many situations, even while she was being attempted to be disrobed. So Audharya, Panchali. Now, Agashoshanath, he completely dried up all the sins. The example is Ahalya. Ahalya that we are talking about today. And the sixth example, Aganita Shreya Padaprapanath. Aganita Shreya Padaprapanath. The example is Dhruv Maharaj. Dhruv Maharaj went to ask for the kingdom, but he got the kingdom, Dhruvaloka, but he also got the immense mercy of the Lord. So Ahalya, Agashoshanath. See, ordinarily we'll say he redeems us from all sins. But this is the grace of the Lord. He completely forgives. So even in the Bible, it is said, I think it is a book of Luke. It says somewhere, some chapter. It says, forgive and thou shalt be forgiven. However, when we look at devotees around us, we say, Prabhu, Patanjali Muni Prabhu, I forgive you. Although you have been so unkind to me. So you know how forgiveness is also conditional. And then even after I forgive, sorry, I have nothing against Patanjali Muni Prabhu. I'm just picking him up randomly. So he's done nothing. You've done nothing to offend me. So but we carry something within us. Even when we have forgiven someone, we still haven't forgiven them enough or forgiven them completely. But look at the forgiveness of the Lord. Agashoshanath. This word is very, very important. Shoshanath means drying up. Imagine there was a glass of water that you spill out in the veranda somewhere on the concrete. And the water is spilled and the sun comes out. And the sun completely dries up the water. No trace of it left. Can anyone then after a few hours come there and say, oh, this is exactly the spot where the water was? One cannot. Because it's completely dried up. Similarly, the Lord completely forgives. Completely absolves one from the most agar, from the most abominable sin. This is the grace of the Lord. Whereas we cannot forgive truly. It takes a great heart to forgive. So this verse shows us through the pastime of Ahalya the third lesson, which is that the grace of the Lord is so powerful that even the most abominable sin is completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. Shoshanath, completely dried up. And finally, in conclusion, we have this verse. I wanted to go through the verse, but looking at the time, I'll take only two more minutes. I think this verse is especially beautiful because of the last line in the verse, which is Vashreva Vatsakam Anugraha Katarosman. You know, why is the Lord behaving in such a way which is, you know, he's just compassionate, merciful, and graceful? Why does he shower his grace on everyone? What is the need for the Lord to be merciful? The last line of this verse is answering that question. There is only one other verse. Kapila Dev says in third canto, Vrityanugraha Kataram, he tells Devahuti, the nature of the Lord is most beautiful, but then he says, Vrityanugraha Kataram. This word is very important to understand. Anugraha Kataram. Katara means one who is distressed. Anugraha means grace. So one who is distressed by grace, is that the meaning? No, the meaning is he is so eager to provide his grace. Why is he so eager? You know, one who is habituated, one who is conditioned to do something. A drug addict is conditioned to take drugs. If he has an opportunity, he will not miss. A drunkard is conditioned. If you leave him in a bar, all alone, with all these bottles of wine and whatever, he's conditioned to drink. You don't have to prompt him. You don't have to tell him, oh, it's not the right time of the day. It's not the right season. It's not the right tithi. Nothing, you know. He's just doing it. Conditioned. So katara means habituated. Anugraha katara. The Lord is habituated. The Lord is conditioned to give his grace. Just imagine. Bhagwan is conditioned to give his grace. This is so wonderful. Dhruva Maharaj has really revealed in the very last verse of his prayer, he's revealed the real nature of the Lord. And the last few words, Vashreva. Vashreva means a cow. And he says, how conditioned are you, my Lord? Why is the Lord conditioned? The example, as Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport, the example is right here in this verse. Dhruva Maharaj was not performing bhakti, which was pure devotional service. He was not. He was performing bhakti, which was sakama, with the desire. He was not performing ahaituki bhakti. But still, because my Lord, you are so conditioned to give your grace, you still appeared. I mean, what can I say about your conditioning? You are so conditioned, just like a vashra. Vashra is a cow who has just given birth. Anyone who is from Goshala will know, when a cow gives birth, immediately she is licking the calf, she is cleaning the calf up, she is sort of motivating the calf to stand up, and she gives her milk, and she protects the calf. And I would like to finish off by reading this from Bhavartha Deepika commentary of Sridhar Swami on this verse. He says, Yataha anugrahe hitacharane kataraha paravashaha. Kataraha means paravashaha. He is habituated. He is conditioned. Anugrahe hitacharane. He is conditioned to do that which is best for his devotee. He is conditioned. Sridhar Swami says, Yataha anugrahe hitacharane kataraha paravashaha. He is paravashaha. He cannot, just like a drunkard, cannot resist. The Lord cannot resist giving his grace. It's irresistible for him to not give his grace. Sridhar Swami says, he says, Navaprasuta vashra dhenur vatsam kshiram payayati. Payayati is causative case. Forcibly makes her drink. As Navaprasuta, one who has just delivered, vasra dhenur vatsam, such dhenu, such cow, vatsam to its calf, kshiram payayati, forcibly makes the calf come and drink her milk. The calf has no sense. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he says, abhajatam api, even though the calf is useless, he says, for his mother at that stage. The mother, she is giving, encouraging him to drink the milk, drink my milk. Kshipram payati vrikadi bhyo rakshati cha tadvat. Vrikadi bhyo rakshati. And the cow protects the baby from wolves and other animals. So if the cow is given birth in a forest, then there are wolves and other dangerous animals, and the cow protects the calf. Similarly, the Lord not only nourishes, but also protects his devotee. And his desire to nourish and protect is his conditioning. Sridhar Swami says, paravasha, he's conditioned. So the celebration, so through Ahalya, we understand that his act is out of his conditioning, his anugraha. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, Poshanam tad anugraha. His grace is the only means of maintenance for a devotee. So, the celebration of Ramanavami is a celebration of this incredible grace, anugraha of the Lord. We celebrate Ramanavami tomorrow. Tomorrow is the actual tithi of Ramanavami. Is the celebration of the wonderful, habitual. In fact, the Latin word habit comes from the Latin word habitus, which means condition. He's so conditioned. This is amazing. He's so conditioned. The Lord is so conditioned to give his grace. Sorry, maybe I'm repeating myself, but it is wonderful indeed. So the celebration of Ramanavami is celebration of, and the celebration of all the appearance days of the Lord is the celebration of the grace of the Lord. And that is what we should beg on these days. So thank you very much. I've gone over by 5 minutes. So no questions, unfortunately. Sorry.